Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
That's Chicago bringing us back. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. And welcome to my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Thank you for hanging out with me. And our good friend, our guest, David Dossie, is here. Partner with the Gallagher & Dossie, a registered professional engineer and licensed intellectual property attorney. And invention-protection.com. Right, Dave?
Yes, sir.
Check that website out, folks. That's not your grandfather's website, intellectual property attorney website. Okay, so we talked in the last segment, Dave, about getting yourself ready for an inspection by a prospective buyer who's going to say, hey, tell me about your intellectual property. What do you own? What trademarks do you own? Tell me about your copyright stuff. What do you have any patents? What are your trade secrets? What can you do to show me that you aren't violating anybody else's stuff? Those are the things you need to be prepared for as the seller. But now we're going to talk about the buyer, right? Some of the things they need to be focusing on their due diligence.
Sure. With any acquisition like that, small business owners will often say, oh my goodness, they've come with all sorts of requests for information about the intellectual property. And of course, any attorney is going to have a big repertoire of resources that have common requests for information to avoid big mistakes. And the classic example that strikes fear in all attorneys is the example of from the late 1990s when Volkswagen was purchasing Rolls-Royce and Bentley from a company named Vickers.
It's an amazing story, folks.
Right. So they thought they were on top of the world. They got Rolls-Royce and Bentley for the grand total of around $700 million. But guess what? They did not own the Rolls-Royce trademarks. They turns out Rolls-Royce, the aircraft company, owned the trademarks. And then guess what? Lo and behold,
so you're saying that the car company had been sort of licensing the name from the aircraft company?
Licensing, or I suspect there was some sort of just coexistence agreement in place.
But the ownership was with the aircraft.
Correct.
And that's what...
And Volkswagen, I guess, never specifically asked the question, and Rolls-Royce or Vickers never specifically offered offered this to them. And lo and behold, then BMW comes in and buys the rights to the Rolls-Royce trademarks for automobiles from the true owner and
the aircraft,
voila.
The people who make the engines, they're Rolls-Royce jet engines.
Right. And so then BMW has rights to that. And guess what? Lo and behold, they end up purchasing all the other Rolls-Royce assets.
So imagine this, folks.
At a great discount.
You buy a company that has a service that you want, and you're paying big bucks because of that service, and you buy the company and you're so excited, and then you find out that one of your competitors actually owns the trademark of the name of your service. So that means you can't call that service you just bought by that name. That's amazing.
And small business owners often, want to also acquire businesses. So talking about it from that perspective, there's this nice thought that you want to do everything in a handshake and trust the person that you're dealing with. But if you're not doing this due diligence, both if you're acquiring or if you're looking to sell your business, you're doing a tremendous disservice and taking on potentially a huge risk.
Well, that's exactly right, and there was a time when you didn't probably maybe 30, 40 years ago where there wasn't that big a deal, but today with all of the technology and all the different ways that we go to market, all the different business opportunities that are not physically based, they're digitally based. The intellectual property is becoming even more critical today, isn't it?
Absolutely. And just think of it, if a larger company is looking to acquire your company and they want to, you know, expand, if they're already throughout the world and you're only primarily domestic market, mm-hmm. and they want to expand and you've got a nice niche product and name, good recognition, you know, they want to know, are we going to be able to use that name outside of the United States? What investigation have you done? So even though it might not have been on your radar, if you think your company is likely to be purchased by a much larger company, you need to be thinking about those things and say, what, are there going to be any obstacles if someone wants to acquire my company and use my name in Canada or in Europe?
Right.
So a little, little preventive medicine there can pay back many, many times over.
Well, and the main thing right up front is you don't want to look like you don't know what they're talking about when they ask you about these things.
Right.
Because they're going to, they're probably just going to run away because they're going to say, you know what, I can't be confident that this person is giving me all the information I need. If I'm having it, if I introduced him to or her to this concept, and I'm having to teach them what they need to know in order to give me the, what I need, I'm probably going to just go away.
Right. I tell people if you can't produce the likely information that a potential acquirer is asking for in 10 clicks of the mouse or less,
right,
then you're not ready to be talking mm-hmm. to a potential acquirer.
Mm-hmm. Yep. David, I need the website one more time, please.
It is invention-protection.com.
Tell them what we're going to talk about in the next segment.
Well, we'll talk about what type of intellectual property due diligence is required for businesses that are product-based rather than service-based.
Ah.
It's often much more.
I got you. All right, stand by, folks, for that. After these messages, 10 till, I'm Jim Blackson. And we are airplanes today.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.